Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Happy to have today's episode presented by SeatGeek and the wonderful SeatGeek app, which you can use with promo code LOPACERS to earn $20 back on your first ticket purchase. And with five home games remaining before the All-Star break and a couple of marquee games this week, the SeatGeek app can help you get great seats at the Fieldhouse to get crazy for the Pacers. My name is Tom Lewis from IndyCornrows.com. Here, as always, to give you the latest news and notes about the Pacers. And on this episode, we'll check in on the weekend that saw the Pacers earn a 106-97 win on Friday in Brooklyn over the Nets. A little harder than it was intended to be, but they still brought home the W. And then on Saturday, cleaned up the back-to-back with a nice 105-84 win over the Detroit Pistons. Made it look borderline easy, even though they were a little shorthanded. So let's start in Brooklyn, where the weekend got off to a good start with a third consecutive road win for the Pacers as they took care of the Nets, but it wasn't as easy as you might think. Pacers came out with a lot of good energy, playing really well, and looked like they were going to be able to ease their way home in this one. Had a 10-point lead at the half, and things looked pretty good headed into the middle of the third quarter, but that reserve unit struggled a little bit in the second half there and coughed up some of the lead. Now, got to give credit to the reserve unit. During the current win streak, they've been playing quite well, holding that lead that starters have been giving them. But on this night, things started to fade away, and the energy was gone, and the Nets caught a little fire, a little momentum. Sean Kilpatrick got going, and, Brook Lopez had a solid game overall, and Joe Harris off the bench for them. Got things rolling, but when Quincy Acey hit a three-pointer early in the fourth quarter, about 8 minutes left, 8-9 minutes left, the Nets all of a sudden had the lead, and things got real. And it started to smell like the second game of the year when the Pacers went into Brooklyn and dropped a nasty loss in kind of a similar fashion. As in that game, Kilpatrick again got smoking and shot the Pacers out of the gym. And this time, the starters came in and weren't necessarily able to just, seize the game and put it away. It remained a battle down to the end. But they did come up big, make the plays they needed, and get it done. And it did work kind of nicely to juxtapose that win to the loss earlier in the season, and kind of show the growth of this team. You hate to see that the Nets, who have the worst record in the league, are a team that the Pacers are using to measure their progress, but be that as it may, it was exactly the same situation, really. And this time they were able to right the ship, close things down, and get out of there with a win. Paul George had 24 points, 11 rebounds. Jeff Teague also had 24 points, 7 assists. It was kind of a rough shooting night. PG was 9 of 22 from the floor, so he had to get up a lot of shots to get his points. Al Jefferson, again, solid at times, getting his double digits off the bench. But for the most part, it was a struggle overall, and Pacers were just happy to come home with that win. That pushed the win streak to 5 games and set them up to go for another back-to-back win, as they had done earlier when they had beaten Sacramento at the Fieldhouse earlier in January. So, but PG in particular mentioned that, when AC hit that 3 and they looked up and saw, oh my gosh, we're actually behind now, there was that feeling of completely flashing back to that second game of the year and how things went. And that kind of gave them the, I guess, the intestinal fortitude, mental toughness, whatever you need to be, to push a game back in your favor. I guess Nate McMillan calls it being road tough. And that's what they were able to do. Another low light from that game was the fact that Thad Young left in the second half after a bad fall. He blocked the shot, went down the ground, fell, hurt his left wrist, and that was really scary. Obviously, he's left-handed, so if he broke his left wrist and was out for a while, just as the schedule is about to turn nasty, that would have been a rough blow as it is. The x-rays revealed just a sprain. He was day-to-day, questionable for the Detroit game, ended up not playing. I have a feeling he's going to be out for a little bit here, even though they're not saying he's definitely out, you know, for a couple weeks or after the All-Star break or anything yet. They haven't ruled out that he might come back. But considering it's a shooting hand, shooting wrist, you really don't want to mess with that. And they did survive that Saturday game against Detroit without him. Got a big game from LaVoy Allen, which we'll get into here in a bit. But that was definitely the worst part of that Brooklyn trip, was potentially losing Thad for a little while, because he's been so solid. Nate McMillan kind of called him a glue guy, because he is, you know, maybe that fourth option on the starting unit, but he definitely makes opponents pay if they don't pay attention to him, and has had a lot of good dirty work plays. You know, he'll come up with a rebound and make a pass, make a three. It just seems like, you know, he's capable of making a play when you need it, and has really become a solid contributor on that starting unit as they've grown together. So it's rough to lose somebody out of that unit now that they're kind of finally rolling. So hopefully it remains short-term, day-to-day. I like that prognosis. Hopefully they can keep that up, and he'll be back soon, especially with the busy schedule coming up for the Pacers. So before we hit on the Pistons game, I do want to mention something about the crowd during the Detroit game. Fantastic showing at the Fieldhouse on Saturday night. I always judge the crowd by the upper deck and how full it is and how high up in the crowd fans are. And it was, I think it was announced as a sellout. Definitely had fans all the way to the top deck or the top row on Saturday night. And, you know, against Detroit, not really the marquee team right now. And the fact that there's some great games this week, Monday OKC, Wednesday Cleveland, then again next Saturday, for fans that, you know, are going to have to pick a game, not able to go to every game, getting such a great crowd for that game was pretty impressive. So again, with OKC, Monday, Cleveland, Wednesday, have to imagine those crowds would be good too. So if you want to get good seats, make sure you use your SeatGeek app. You know, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. And I always use the SeatGeek app to check on tickets for friends and family coming to the game. I also like to see what the market is bearing in some of these big games. I know for the game OKC on Monday, you can get in upper deck for under $10. Go see Russell Westbrook, Victor Oladipo. And I also see there's some seats behind the basket in the lower level, about $43. That's a good price there. Let's check over here now. Click over to game on Wednesday against Cleveland. And, you know, all the LeBron fans from all around the region have checked things out. So, yeah, well, you can get in the upper deck for a ticket in the 30s. And then it's going to be a little pricey if you want to get down low. So definitely check out the SeatGeek app, and you're going to find that it's always the place to go to look for tickets for a game or concert. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all, for my listeners, get a $20 rebate off your first ticket purchase with the SeatGeek app. To get the $20 rebate, just download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Then enter promo code LOPACERS. That's all caps, all one word, LOPACERS. And then SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOPACERS today. Okay, let's flash back to the actual game on Saturday before that big crowd at the Fieldhouse. And the Pistons came in playing pretty well, had moved up to 8th in the Eastern Conference, which was helped more by Charlotte completely falling off the face of the earth. But regardless, they were winning enough to jump ahead of a few other teams and get into that mix. So the Pacers came out early in the first quarter and looked pretty good, but eventually dropped that first quarter. They were down by 2 as the teams were just swapping buckets for the most part. And it was amazing that the game continued to go at that pace, 58-56 at the half. And you're thinking, boy, this is going to be a big shootout. First team to, 110 is going to win. And then the Pacers came out and absolutely seized control of the game in the third quarter. And their defense was fantastic throughout the second half, allowing just 26 points over the whole second half. So they ended up winning 105-84. And it really was a game that the Pacers just kind of flipped a switch and then just cruised on home. There was no drama. There was no threats of letting that lead get away. It just took care of business. And the Pistons never flared up and threatened the lead in the second half. And even, looking at the numbers, everybody was kind of around their average, a little below average. You look at Paul George, had 21 points, only 3 rebounds, 4 assists. Jeff Teague had 13 points, 7 assists. Kind of right with his average, a little lower. Miles Turner, 13 points, block shot, and 6 rebounds. Kind of around his average, a little lower. But the one guy who didn't have an average night was LaVoy Allen. LaVoy was pressed into the starting lineup for Thad Young, as I mentioned, who hurt his wrist in Brooklyn. And, McMillan had a choice with Fab out. He could go small, possibly start Glenn Robinson III or even Monte in Brooklyn. They finished the game with Monte, Teague, Paul George, C.J. Miles, and Miles Turner. So they could have gone small. Detroit plays John Luehr, who is, even though he's tall, he kind of plays like a more of a stretch four and not as big. But regardless, McMillan went with more of a traditional lineup, had LaVoy start. It was his birthday. That wasn't the reason he started, but he sure came up big on his birthday. 18 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, a block, just filling the stat sheet. And it was kind of right from the get-go that he made a difference real early in the game. Detroit made a point of, funneling the ball to LaVoy and apparently being happy, with him shooting the ball, which is a smart defensive plan. But LaVoy was aggressive, took advantage, scored some early buckets, and made them pay. And the Pistons were trying to flip-flop guys on Turner and Allen. So they have Luehr covering Turner, trying to keep, Drummond out of foul trouble possibly, or having to chase around Turner too much. But eventually in that second quarter, as the Pacers were trying to figure out what might work, they did go with the smaller lineup, and that forced Turner onto Drummond, where he was able to do some work, and forced Drummond to play on the defensive end a little more. But when it came down to it in the second half, it was the defense that really was big, and that lineup with LaVoy in there playing big got it done. And unlike in Brooklyn, the reserve unit came in and did their work as well. Al Jefferson had 13 points. Glenn Robinson III had a real nice effort. Only had 4 points, but did have 6 rebounds and a couple assists, and was real active. Played 27 minutes. Those are close to starters' minutes. So he's definitely getting his time off the bench, and that's good to see. Aaron Brooks, who is back in the rotation now that Rodney Stuckey is back out after spraining his ankle, had a solid game and actually was part of one of the signature plays of the night. Pacers ball movement was pretty good at times, and in that second half especially, there's one play, the ball was swinging around. C.J. Miles had a good look after catching a pass in the corner, but then he swung it to Brooks, who was behind the arc on the wing and wide open. So it was one of those things for where C.J. Miles had a good shot, passed to Brooks, who had a better shot. Although you might say, I don't know, I'd rather have Miles shooting a good shot than Brooks. But regardless, it was a great basketball play, and the basketball gods rewarded because Brooks has feet set. You know, he's wide open and knocked it down like a pro should. So it was a great basketball play, and just, you know, I felt kind of the signature play for the Pacers to accentuate their ball movement and sharing the load as they took care of the Pistons. After the game, asked Paul George about, you know, what happened at halftime, were the major adjustments made, what was going on. Really, he said they just came out, you know, with a better mindset. During the half, they were really upset after giving up a 10-point lead late in the half. So that frustration was put to good use in the third quarter, and they came out ready to pounce on the Pistons. And that's exactly what they did. And the win moves the Pacers to 28-22, now 19-6 at home. Now that's impressive. And now they are riding a 6-game win streak in 6th place in the Eastern Conference. Only 6.5 games out of 1st place. Top of the East is struggling. You notice Toronto Raptors are down to 4th, only 2 games ahead of the Pacers right now. Hawks in 5th, 1.5 games ahead of the Pacers. So the Pistons, despite the loss, are back in 8th place heading into Monday. So, but they're 5.5 games behind the Pacers. So the East is getting a little jammed up. Both Boston and Washington are riding 7-game win streaks as they try and hunt down the Cavs. But maybe Cleveland has righted the ship. I guess we will see up close and personal on Wednesday when LeBron and the boys come into the field house. Gonna be an exciting game as always. So this week, a really tough schedule, but also a schedule that's full of opportunities. Let's get positive here. All right. First of all, I play Oklahoma City on Monday with obviously Russell Westbrook is a key focus. And of course, Victor Oladipo will have some fans in the audience for sure. But then after that, on Wednesday, you got Cleveland. Then on Friday, at Washington, the Wizards are on fire. I think they've run 19 in a row at home, something like that, and 7 in a row overall. So the Wiz are really playing like the best team in the East right now. But we'll see that team as far as the standings go on Wednesday. Then Saturday, you have the Milwaukee Bucks back at the Fieldhouse. So the good news is 3 of the 4 games at the Fieldhouse, where the Pacers again are 19-6. So, you know, trying to survive here during this stretch. And they took care of business against some teams they needed to. Got a big win against Houston. And then they've won 3 games in a row on the road. And gutted out the win against Sacramento. Took care of the Pistons. So they put themselves in good shape here where they can hold onto that playoff positioning and still battle through this tough schedule and look to get some big wins here at home before the All-Star break. So forget the difficult matchups. Let's look at the opportunity to leap up the standings even further. And you know, when you're playing a team like Washington, for instance, anytime you can get an advantage in the tiebreaker of the head-to-head games, it's a good option as well. So that game I'm really looking forward to, but we're going to have to wait through OKC and Cleveland at home to get things started this week. Should be fun. Make sure you check it out. And thanks for listening. As always, please share your thoughts on the Pacers and how they're doing right now, what you see in the future as we head to the All-Star break and the trade deadline. You can email me at indycornrows@gmail.com or reach me on Twitter at indycornrows. And you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all prior episodes are available. Once again, thanks to SeatGeek, the presenting sponsor today. And make sure you use the promo code LOPACERS to receive $20 off your first ticket purchase. And that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.